Good morning. Members of Ninth Church warmly welcome you here today. And we're also extending our welcome to the radio audience. After earning his bachelor's and master's degree at the University of Southern California, our speaker taught in public and private high schools, served for 3 years in military intelligence, and later served as in the public practice of Christian Science. Later, he went into the armed services as a Christian Science minister for 7 years. As a member of the Christian Science Board of Lectureship, he has toured Europe and South America, delivering lectures in French and Spanish. He is here today to explain how you are needed. It is my pleasure to present Mr. Howard Irwin. Mr. Irwin.
Thank you, Ms. Meyer. Isn't this a lovely place to have a lecture? We're so happy to be here again with Ninth Church and to share this hour with you. I'm sure that many of you are aware of the fact that there are great changes taking place in the fields of science and technology. And all of these changes are bringing about a wholly new concept of the material universe. But these things challenge us to ensure that our understanding of God is keeping up with the times. Why, we're being forced to go beyond a mere perfunctory or even devout belief in God. We must gain an understanding of God that will prove itself practical in today's scientific world. Even among the Christian churches, there are many and varied concepts of God's nature. And back in the days when the Psalms were written, there were people who said there is no God. And there still are, as there always have been, some who doubt God's very existence. There's nothing new or modern or up-to-date in this thought, and it needn't disturb anyone. We can prove in our own daily experience that God does exist. And we exist as his likeness. We express God. And this is the purpose of our existence, and one reason why we are needed. But many of us haven't always understood this. At one time or another, we felt the longing to be needed. Or perhaps we thought we aren't wanted, that no one is really interested in us and what we're doing, or appreciates us. This is such a general feeling, we find it expressed wherever we go. It isn't limited to any age or economic group. It's common to humanity. We all want to feel needed, wanted, appreciated. Now, it's through understanding our relationship to God that we realize we're always needed and that our longing to be wanted is satisfied. But before we can realize our importance to God and to our fellow man, we must understand God's nature. And this understanding, as well as being as scientific as the most advanced technology, is based squarely on the Bible. Down through the centuries, men have turned to the Bible for an understanding of God and of man's relationship to God. Oh, there have been many attempts made to discredit the Bible, but this has only served the useful purpose of helping men to read it more intelligently, more perceptively. In this scientific age, the teachings of the Bible still point out the practical way of life and progress. Now, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then, the great variety of this creation is set forth and reaches its climax in the creation of man. Man in God's image and likeness. Now, in all of this, God is the name used to identify this original source or creator of all. As we read on through the Bible, we soon become aware that men's concept of God is constantly being changed and enlarged. As people make progress in applying their understanding of God in daily living, they discover new aspects of God's nature. And then they use new names for God to match their new understanding and new stages of experience. So, when we get to the New Testament, we find Jesus calling God Father and Our Father. The Apostle John clearly understood Jesus' teachings and the significance of his healings. He was able to give us the highest of all names for God, love. Now notice, no matter what name is used to describe this original creator, it's the same God that's being worshipped and adored, the same God that men have always turned to for aid and protection. Oh, there have been people who have doubted God's existence, others who thought him too great, or too busy, or too far away to trouble himself about man, and still others who misunderstood him in many other ways. But there wasn't ever a time when God's being was interrupted. There's always been a growing understanding of God and of God's expression of himself in man. Why, God hasn't stopped being today or ever. A young man I know felt very much alone. He felt that nobody really liked him. And as a result, he was in a state of endless mental turmoil. Now, as a child, he had been enrolled for a time in the Christian Science Sunday School. So now he turned to Christian Science to help him with this problem. He made an appointment to see a Christian Science practitioner, one of those men and women who have qualified themselves to devote their full time to Christian Science healing. My young friend was assured by this practitioner of God's love for him, and he was encouraged to study the Bible regularly, as he had been taught to do in Sunday school. He did just that, and soon he began to think about his problem in a new way. What he was learning brought a whole new light to the situation. He began to see that he had been lonely, afraid, and frustrated because he actually felt cut off from the source of happiness, goodness, joy and love. Why, he felt cut off from God, who is love. But he learned that since God is infinite, love is infinite. That meant that wherever the young man was, there was an expression of loving qualities. Affection, compassion, warmth, tenderness, consideration. Once he had accepted and established these spiritual facts in his own thinking, he had the answer to his basic problem.
And then he found his life was changing. Wonderful things opened up. He found happiness, good companionship, and much that showed him that he belonged. Now this young man didn't just study the Bible in a random way. He studied it as he had been taught to do in Sunday school, together with the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. She's the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. My young friend studied the Bible spiritually and scientifically. He had the answer to his problem as he began to understand basic spiritual facts about the nature of God as infinite love and his own relationship to this love. Now, the full scientific implication of the words and works of Christ Jesus were discovered by Mrs. Eddy just over 100 years ago. This Christ science, or Christ truth, came to her as the revelation of the complete nature of God and man. So, for 100 years, Christian Science has been offering mankind a scientific concept of God which greatly illumines his nature. This science teaches that God is divine principle and mind. Now these names for God, together with the name love, help us to understand God more clearly as the original and only source or cause of man. Now, what do we mean by saying that God is divine principle? Well, quite simply, that he is the source and lawgiver of all real being. And this includes you and me. Some people think this name for God makes him seem cold and distant, but actually, seeing God as principle destroys the notion that you can be separated from him. What can be closer than the very source and law of your being? When we think of God, divine love, as also divine principle, we can see how he's constantly taking care of us and governing us. Because he's infinite and universal, he can't be just here and not there. And you can't shut yourself off from him. The prophet Jeremiah expressed it this way: "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Well then, what about the name mind for God? Wouldn't it be difficult to think of God as divine love and principle without seeing that he must be intelligent? Why, without an intelligent, purposeful source, creation would be chaos. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, reminds us, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." God must be conscious of what he creates, conscious of every individual identity. Can't we describe this conscious, intelligent, purposeful God by the term divine mind? And this is the God you and I express through intelligence and love, through every God-like quality. Now, as you begin to understand God in this way, that is, as divine principle and mind, as well as love, you'll see something else about God that's important. God doesn't cause evil or suffering of any kind. Why, he destroys it. Principle and intelligence couldn't do otherwise. We can illustrate this from light and darkness. Let light stand for God and darkness for evil, suffering, unhappiness. Light is all light. It doesn't hold darkness in itself, but acts to destroy the darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light and is powerless to resist the light. John used the same metaphor when he said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And because God is divine principle, in him is no evil at all, nothing unprincipled. God then doesn't cause or allow any feeling of any one of us not being wanted or needed. He destroys it because it's like darkness. It doesn't express the light of God. That is, it's no part of the impartial government of divine principle, of the intelligent activity of divine mind, or the universal care of divine love. Now, we've hinted at the important function man fulfills, but as a first step in specifically discussing the need for him, I'd like to tell you about a businessman I know. He went to visit a Christian Science practitioner to see if there could possibly be a solution to his many difficulties. His business activity had dwindled away to almost nothing. His financial situation was desperate, and his personal affairs seemed hopelessly tangled. Why, he was convinced he was a failure. Nobody wanted him or needed him or what he had to give. The practitioner assured him that there was an answer, and that the answer could be found through understanding the nature of God and his own relationship to God. At first, the businessman couldn't see how this would straighten out his business and financial affairs, but he was willing to listen. For a long time, they talked about God as the source, divine principle or cause of man, and of man as the expression of God. The practitioner pointed out that for God to be fully expressed, not one individual expression can ever be cast off or rejected. Rather, each one is governed, cared for, and guided by this divine principle, which is also divine love. During the days and weeks that followed, my business friend eagerly studied the Bible and science and health. He began to see that he did have his place as the expression of God, and that he couldn't lose it. Gradually, his attitude changed from despair to hope, and in a short time, he was able to adjust his business and financial affairs so no one suffered damage or loss. And of course, his personal affairs too showed that a spiritual understanding of God and man is scientific and practical. Why, he proved in his own way that he was most certainly needed. Now let's look a little more closely at the spiritual truths that helped him. We've made references to man, to God, as the source of man, and to man as the expression of God. Our identity then is God's expression of himself. And we can't be separated from him. As we reflect divine principle, we express integrity, reliability, and harmony. As we reflect divine mind, we express its limitless intelligence and capacities. And as we reflect divine love, we are supported and sustained by this love wherever we are. Divine love can't withhold any good from man. Man, in turn, can't have anything unlike God, nor be conscious of lacking any good. We are all, each one of us, important to God, because he's conscious of us, he loves us, and he is expressing his nature in the true being of each one of us. Now, this feeling of not being wanted or needed is pretty general to mankind. Probably we all have to meet it sooner or later and overcome it. Why, even Christ Jesus had to. And notice, this feeling presented itself to Jesus in very much the same way that it presents itself to us today. So, we can learn a lot from considering how Jesus met it with love. Now, the fact that Jesus came from a village called Nazareth meant that he just came from the wrong community. After Jesus had chosen Philip as a disciple, Philip went to tell his friend Nathanael about Jesus. And what was Nathanael's reaction? Why, he asked Philip, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And when Jesus presented himself as a religious teacher in his own part of the country, the people asked, "Why, isn't this the carpenter?" And finally, there's the difficulty Jesus had with his own family. Why, we're told quite plainly that his brothers didn't believe him. They even taunted him. They almost dared him to go more openly among the Jews, some of whom already wanted to kill him. Now, why did those whom Jesus came to bless want to kill him or have him killed? Well, because they lacked the spiritual perception needed to understand the message of divine truth and love. This is what Jesus was bringing to the world, and he knew the value of it. He knew that what the people needed above all else was a right understanding of God and of their own relationship to God. He knew that when the people recognized this need, they would want what he was bringing them. Jesus knew that a spiritual understanding of God and man is intensely practical in daily living. This understanding isn't limited by a lack of schooling. And yet it brings even to a brilliant education a new purposefulness and direction. Through spiritual understanding, Jesus was able to match wits and confound his most clever opponents. He showed them that he had learned something which their educational system had failed to give them. And yet at the same time, Jesus was able to illustrate his teachings with stories of everyday living in such a simple way that the humblest of his followers could understand him. Some of these illustrations pointed to the importance of each one of us expressing love. For example, in his parable of the Good Samaritan, why, it wasn't the men of learning and distinction, the men belonging to the right nation, who saw and seized this opportunity to show their usefulness. No, it was a Samaritan who saw this opportunity and expressed healing compassion for the traveler wounded by the thieves. Now the Jews looked down on those Samaritans with contempt. But Jesus showed by this parable that we are not to judge a man's worth or his usefulness by his nationality, by his race, or by his education. Rather, we are to judge a man's worth and usefulness by his own individual expression of God-like qualities, especially love. And we today can express these qualities more and more effectively as we scientifically understand ourselves as divine love's expression of itself. Then we'll find ourselves useful, needed, and in demand, regardless of our education or social background. At a lecture one Sunday afternoon, I was introduced by a woman whose experience is a fine example of what it means to express God-like quality. She was a member of a minority group. Her family was very poor, and she had had no schooling. All her life, she had had to work very hard. But one day, Christian Science was brought to her attention, and she began to study it as best she could. Through this study, she began to learn about her own true selfhood as the expression of God. She saw that it was necessary and natural
for her to express God-like qualities, such as intelligence, graciousness, and poise. During the years that followed, her study and practice of Christian Science developed these spiritual qualities in her and other spiritual qualities, and she largely overcame her handicaps and limitations. She introduced me with poise and dignity, and it was obvious she had gained the ability to express herself most lovingly and effectively. Now, perhaps for some of us, the difficulty isn't a lack of formal education, but some family situation. We may feel that our family just doesn't understand us, or that our progress and happiness are limited because of our family, or because of our lack of family. Jesus' teaching and example show that we can enlarge our concept of family in a way that will combine security and freedom. Once when Jesus was teaching, he was told that his mother and some other members of his family wanted to speak to him. Then he gave that definition of family which is so helpful to us today. He said, "And sister and mother." Now, at no time did Jesus ignore the responsibilities of family. Why, even while he was on the cross, he saw that his mother was taken care of. But his understanding of God as Father, as universal love, enlarged and deepened his sense of family. And at the same time, it broke down a sense of limitation. This freed him to express to the full his own God-derived individuality. Jesus showed us that we can understand and use the spiritual facts about family. As we do, we'll find our family relationships becoming more loving and harmonious. I know a woman who asked a Christian Science practitioner for help. Her body was badly swollen with a dropsy-like condition. Now, this woman was rebellious against her mother, for she felt her mother was demanding too much of her and was trying to make her feel she wasn't wanted in her own home. The woman and the practitioner talked about the nature of family as defined by Jesus. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Each day, they tried to realize more clearly man's true spiritual nature, that each one of us is needed for our individual expression of God-like qualities. Gradually, the rebellion was replaced with a sense of love for the mother, and harmony was restored in the home, and the woman's body returned to its normal size and function. So we see the Christ power is always available to bring freedom from every kind of limitation. Now, there's no mystery about the Christ
The Christ, as understood in Christian Science, is the true idea of God. It reveals to human consciousness what is true about man, true about you and me, and our relationship to God. This Christ, truth, can't be seen or felt by the physical senses, but it was made evident to human thought through the life and work of Jesus. Because he so completely expressed the Christ, we speak of him as Jesus the Christ, or Christ Jesus. Jesus was able to heal because he was faithful and obedient to the Christ in his daily living. He showed us how to apply the Christ truth in our own experience. Why, it was through this same truth that the introducer I referred to overcame the handicaps of birth, family, and lack of education. And through this same truth, my friend was healed of unhappiness in the home and a swollen body. Mrs. Eddy's discovery shows that Christianity, scientifically understood as the Christ science or Christ truth, is still as challenging and dynamic as it was in Jesus' day. It continues to be a transforming force in human experience. From very earliest childhood, the Bible was a real companion to Mrs. Eddy. She turned to it as one turns to a close and trusted friend. So in middle age, when she was in great need of healing, it was natural she should seek help from its pages. What she discerned of the truth of being put to silence the persistent thoughts of hopelessness and failure. With a new sense of strength, she rose from her bed, healed. This experience led her on to the discovery that the God, the divine love, whom Jesus called Father, is also divine principle, the source of all existence. She saw that since God is good and is spirit, man, as his image and likeness, must be wholly good and spiritual. This discovery made such a deep challenge to existing premises and conclusions that Mrs. Eddy found herself rejected by clergymen, by friends, and even by her own family. Abuse and scorn were heaped upon her. But steadfastly, she applied the facts of her discovery to her own situation, and she shared them with anyone who would listen. Constantly, she expressed divine love. She healed the sick and the suffering. Step by step, she proved she was needed. Then her opponents began attacking her character. They didn't seem to understand Jesus' teaching, "By their fruits ye shall know them." But those who were healed, freed from lives of sin and suffering, saw the true nature of their discoverer, of this discoverer. They knew that only a person of exemplary and compassionate character could so grasp the presence and power of God, and then labor so unselfishly to make this discovery available and useful to all. Mrs. Eddy's experience, like that of Christ Jesus, provides an example for all of us that an understanding of God and man in the light of the Christ truth conquers loneliness and rejection. Why, she demonstrated her statement that each individual must fill his own niche in time and eternity. Each of us can do likewise by understanding and expressing infinite divine love. Now, we've spoken of God's love as infinite, but his love is also universal. Universal means not only everywhere and in every direction, but exactly the same for everyone, everywhere, all the time. And this means everyone, all the way up the social scale and all the way down. Now let me illustrate this sense of universal. Have you ever strolled along a sandy beach and picked up some sand to hold in your hand? Well, why does it stay in your hand? Well, because of this thing called gravity. No matter what its size, its shape, its color, or where it came from, each grain of sand presses down on your hand because of the pull of gravity. This pull of gravity is the same for all the grains of sand, not more for one and less for another. Now, there are other fields of gravity in the universe beside that of Earth, and in recent years, we've seen that it is possible to get out of one controlling field of gravity and into another. But wherever you are, the love of God is the same for you as for anyone, anywhere. Divine love is universal, the same throughout the whole of time and space. Divine love is universal, but we must experience it individually. You can experience it and express it right where you are. Then you'll prove you are needed by blessing others, whether they're known to you or not. Jesus tells us in different ways how our own spiritual understanding reaches out to bring blessing and protection to everyone around us. He says, for example, "Ye are the light of the world." And then he adds, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are all, each one of us, needed right where we are. But to take our part as the light of the world, we must understand and express God as the divine principle or source of our being. Just as an electric light gives light only when it's connected with its source, then it gives light equally to all those around it. Even so, each human life touched by the Christ truth brings blessing and protection to everyone around it. Now, I'm sure you'll be interested in the experience of a friend of mine. His experience shows how each one of us can use our spiritual understanding of God and man to bring blessing and protection to all those around us. One day, during a school vacation, he and two other friends climbed a steep and high mountain in the Andes in South America. After they reached the summit, they sat down to rest and to eat their lunch. The weather was clear and sunny, and the view was magnificent. Soon they noticed some birds flying in the wind that blew up from the valley below. Because the birds were quite far away, they looked small. But soon the young friends realized that those birds were condors. Now, condors are very large birds with a wingspread of 10 feet. They have been known to attack and kill men and large animals, such as horses and mules. As the birds approached the three friends, they began flying around them in an ever-narrowing circle. They were not moving their wings. They were just riding the air currents, and they stared fixedly at the three young friends, moving around them in complete silence. Suddenly, the fear of being attacked seized the young men. They each grabbed up a rock and stood back to back. As they watched, their terror increased, and they became paralyzed and unable to think. Then, quite suddenly, my friend became alert mentally. He was a Christian Scientist, and he began to remember what he had learned about the presence of God, divine mind. He became conscious that they were not in a helpless situation. The divine mind that governs the universe governs all of the creatures in the universe. Even those condors were under God's government. Because of this, they could all, birds and men, experience and express only the harmony and good of God's government. As he watched, the young friend became overcome with a sense of wonder at what he was watching, what he was beholding. The calm assurance he had of divine love's presence and power dispelled the paralyzing fear. The condors flew away just as quietly as they had come. What gratitude filled my friend's thought. Through Christian Science, he had glimpsed the fact that God's universe does not contain a single element of discord or danger. This divine idea was a powerful law of protection to him and to his friends and to the condors. Later, he realized that because of his spiritual understanding of God and man, he was needed in that place at that time. Now, Christian Science shows us that each one of us can gain this same spiritual understanding. In this way, we can bless ourselves and everyone around us. The opportunities for doing this are with us every day. This last fall, I gave this lecture with that illustration in it in Asia. And one of the places was in Saigon, in Vietnam. Recently, we had a letter from a Christian Scientist in Saigon, and I would like to read part of this letter to you. It illustrates how each one of us can use what spiritual understanding we have to bring blessing and protection to everyone around us. It doesn't matter how slight the spiritual understanding may seem to be. At our service last night, a young Vietnamese woman gave the most wonderful testimony. She said that she, her sister, and brother had moved from one district to a better house in another district here in Saigon. And because she moved during the Tet Festival, she did not register with the new district. The offices were closed, and she would do it immediately after the holiday. During one of the holiday nights, a jeepload of police and military began a systematic search of each home. She told of the ghastly consequences of not having the properly registered papers for that district. Prison, loss of job, a fine of much money, shame, etc. She said that they were very frightened. Her sister cried, and her brother wanted to run away. But she remembered reading the Christian Science lecture, and the part that she thought about was the condors and the three men in terrible danger in the mountains in South America. She thought, if the Christian Science God could help those men in South America, why not here in Saigon, Vietnam? She talked to God with her whole heart and asked for protection from this great danger. She felt at peace. The policeman walked right past her door to the next house, just as though their house was not there at all. Now, during this lecture, we've seen how Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy used their spiritual understanding to overcome rejection and not being wanted. We've seen how other individuals, this young man in South America and this dear one in Vietnam, used their spiritual understanding to bring blessing and protection to all those around us. The same Christ, truth, is available today. And because God's love is universal, we can both experience it and express it right where we are. As we gain a scientific understanding of the nature of God as infinite, universal divine love, and of man as God's expression, we'll see what our own individual relationship to God is. And this relationship includes the spiritual fact that God has a niche he needs us to fill, and that we certainly need God. As we bring blessing and protection to all those around us, we'll find our own blessing and prove we are needed. Emerson expressed it this way: all are needed by each one. Nothing is fair or good alone. Let me repeat. All are needed by each one. My dear friends, you are needed. Have a lovely, happy day.
You've just heard a taped Christian Science lecture entitled You Are Needed by Howard Irwin, brought to you by the members of Ninth Church of Christ Scientists, San Francisco.